Let me read that one more time. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Fan flames again. Let me address something that happened not too far from here this week, because it is something that was prevalent and it was something that affected this community. On Friday, most of us know what happened not any more than a block from us. Amen. Where, generally speaking, without a bunch of details, because of course when something happens, we can speculate about a few things. A man went into a convenience store. We may not know everything that happened before. We just know that the result was that he was shot. He was shot 3 times. And when I think about it, and I've thought about this for several days, I began thinking about the responses, or the varied responses, that people have when it comes to moments like this. For some of us, we get so numb that we pass it off as just another day, another shooting. We try to bring humor to our conversation so we don't have to think about the tragic events and the aftermath that comes from tragic events. But it's a reminder to me that if something occurs in that manner, that maybe we have become so numb. Because there's something within us that has become so dull. For me, looking at police tape and police cars did not elicit a response from me to have humor. It wasn't a response from me to look at the situation as another shooting. But it reminded me that a man who has children had children that were now scared to death. It reminded me that we as a church are planted in a place where folk need, as our name suggests, hope. It reminded me that with all the churches that are within a half mile radius, because we're not the only one, that how is it possible that things like this can occur and it seems like hardly anybody's disturbed? It's easy to get disturbed about things that happen in neighborhoods that are not your own. It's even easier to get upset when you continue to see injustices everywhere. But sometimes I believe, as a conversation that I've just had this morning, it is easier to care about that which does not directly affect you than to show serious care for things that directly impact you. Which is usually an indicator that something has gone by the wayside and a flame has gone out. So allow me to suggest to you today, based not just on that situation, but many others, that God is calling us in this season not to allow ourselves to become so numb that we miss and forget what he has given us in order to make an impact where we are. Allow this Sunday to be your wake-up call today. That it's time to catch on fire. And you don't need to catch on fire just to prove that you can shout in church. You got to show somebody that the God that you say you serve means something to you. This is the season where people are not waiting to see how well you can do church. They're looking to see how much God really means to you. God has to be expressed through your life in such a way that wherever you go, that people know where you stand. You don't have to go around in many instances and open your mouth to prove anything if it's real to you. All you got to do is show up. Because sometimes it doesn't take a whole lot of talking when you're acting. And if you're acting, it's usually because there's something in you that will not allow you to rest. God wants restless people. God wants a people that have decided that no matter what it takes, somebody needs to know and get a grip on who God really is. That God is the God of the disenfranchised. God is the God of the poor and maligned. God is the God of black folk that have been messed over for many years. God is the God of women that have been messed over for many, many years. God is the God that decides that he loves everybody and wants them to be whole. But there has to come a point where you don't wait for the preacher to say it. You got to tell it. You got to express it. You got to show it. So how in the world did we get in this spot where stuff seems to go by the wayside and nobody feels it anymore? Well, here's how it started. Life happened. Situations happened. People messed us over. People treated us bad. We felt negative about where we were. We were hopeful at one time, but folk disappointed us. We put our trust in entities and things that would fail us and continued on that cycle until we couldn't do nothing else. And now we're just waiting for something to bring us back over. Well, let me introduce an apostle named Paul. Paul is an interesting cat, and I like him a lot because Paul embodies what a lot of us go through. See, at one time in our lives, there were certain things we believed because people told us, and we took it lock, stock, barrel. But then one day, Paul had a convert. He had a conversion. He had a moment where things changed for him. We suggest that Paul was there, and it's towards the end of the 7th chapter of Acts, when Stephen was stoned after he got up in front of the Sanhedrin court and basically told them where to put it and where they can put it down. Yes, he did. Read your Bible, because the deacon Stephen was a bad brother. He got up in front of the Sanhedrin court, gave them the entire history of Jewish tradition all the way up to Jesus, told them about who Jesus really was, broke it all the way down to them. And at the end of his treatise, basically told them, you're the ones that killed him. You're the ones that did it. And God ain't going to put up with it. So, what do good people that get checked usually do? Get a gang full of people, take the man to the side, stone him to death. But even as Stephen was being stoned, he looked up to heaven and God said, guess what, brother, you're coming on up. But the man that was holding the coats of the stoners is assumed to be this man who became the greatest apostle of all. who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament through letters to many churches, and specifically to a young preacher named Timothy. That man was converted by his own experience as he went out to try to persecute a bunch of different Jews and a bunch of different people that were known as people of the way, better known as Christians after Antioch. And he was on his way to make sure that he had legal documentation to go out and oppress people that were roaming free under the Pax Romana. You got to understand that within history, even Christians at a season had enough room to move about without being pressed. But at some point, there were people that were trying to press them because it was changing their way of life. Well, if you apply it, it sounds kind of familiar, don't it? There's a whole lot of things that change that allow people to have freedom. But all of a sudden, there were people that just couldn't let go of their way of life. And they decided that they had to come up with legal means to go ahead and oppress people. And suddenly, there was this man named Paul that was carrying out orders until he was on his road going to carry out orders. And he got knocked off of his animal and blinded by a man named Jesus who was resurrected from the dead. And said, why are you persecuting not just my people, but me? What's your problem? Took his sight and caused him to go to a place where he had to get reprogrammed. Went into a man's house, blinded physically, already blinded spiritually. But as he stayed in that house, had his own conversion experience and realized he couldn't go about things the same old way. And even in his entire life, as an apostle, he had to continue to prove to the brothers that he worked with that he was changed. Read your Bible. He and Peter didn't always get along. They were suspect of Paul for a long time. How can we trust you? We walked with Christ. Where were you? And he had to tell his story. He had to tell his story everywhere. So when he was now in a position as a father, if you will, a parent in ministry, he now had a young man named Timothy, who he shared his story with over two letters. Talked about how he was the worst of them all. He said about himself in the first letter, I'm the chiefest of all sinners. That's King James. I was the best of them. I oppressed and I tried to suppress the move of God. He confessed to this man that he was on the other side at one time and made a mess. But when God got a hold of him, something changed. And he couldn't let it go anymore. And he had to do everything in his power to serve God with all of his heart. Let me stop here for a second to let you know, it doesn't make a difference where you've been and what you've done. When God gets a hold of your life, there ought to be something within you that won't let you go and will cause you to be changed in an instant. And when your life is changed, something about you catches on fire. You're caught on fire. Told Timothy, don't let anybody despise your youth. Don't let anybody tell you you're too young to do this. Your job is to be an example unto the believer. Do it through the word. Do it through your actions. Do it through your study. Do it through your living. Be an example even when they try to discount you. Told him that in the first letter. Now we arrive at the second letter. Paul is getting down to the end. And he said, look, I had to write a second time because I remember how our last interaction was. I remember how I embraced you. And as I remember that embrace, I'm thinking about where you come from. I'm thinking about the good women that taught you. I'm thinking about your mama and your grandmother. I'm thinking about how they brought you up and how you already had an attachment to the Holy One. But I'm also thinking about the moment that I laid hands on you. Ordained you, if you will. I'm thinking about your ordination. And I'm thinking about what was transferred to you by the laying on of my hands. And I know that there's some days when you don't feel like it.
I know you're right.
And there's some moments that test you and try you. But I want to remind you, Timothy, that with everything that has been deposited in you, don't fail to, King James says, stir up the gift. Better translations say, blow into the flame. Fan this thing so it can stay on fire. And the reason you need to do it is because of what God did not give you.
Come on here.
God didn't give you a spirit of fear. He gave you a spirit of love, power, and self-control. He gave you something to hold you in troubled times. But right now, I need you to remember that when you're at your lowest, when you're at your struggle point, when you're at the moment when you can't do anything else, if nobody else is there with you, you step back and take up a fan and continue to fan on that thing until it catches again. Because when it catches, you're going to be able to help somebody. When it catches, you're going to be able not to worry about what's happening in the moment and not to worry about what's going to come because it's still in you. And I think that's a word for somebody here too. Some of you think that there's nothing in you right now because of what you're going through. Let me stop here and prophetically utter to you that it's still there. But now it's time for somebody to blow on it. You got the embers are still there, but it's time for you to catch some wind and let that thing come back up again. You need the Lord to give you some fresh wind because you need that thing to catch again so you're able to do what he called you to do. He's called you to do more than show up on Sunday. He's called you to do more than just be a witness in certain areas of life. God has given you a mission and a purpose that extends beyond the four walls of this church. It extends beyond your job. It extends beyond your business. It extends beyond your family. It is something that can literally change somebody's life. You need a spark. You need a spark. So, why do you need to fan the flame?
Tell us that.
First, it's to energize the gift in you. Now, here's something interesting. How many, you got furnaces in your house? So when you have furnace in your house, it's supposed to work a certain way, it's supposed to when in the wintertime and give off heat. And usually if something happens to your furnace, the first thing they say to you, come on, somebody say it.
Check the pilot.
Check the pilot light. Don't check the mechanics of it first. Check the flame. Miss it. Don't check the mechanics. Check the flame. Because if the flame's out, no matter how much the mechanics might work, it won't work without a flame. I don't care how much singing you can do, that's mechanics. But you can't change an atmosphere unless you got some fire. There's a whole lot of people that speak a whole lot better than me. They're eloquent. They have an extended vocabulary and all that kind of stuff. But public speaking don't mean jack if there ain't no fire behind it. You can have a whole lot going on in your existence and you are able to do a whole lot of stuff. But if there ain't no fire behind it, it's not going to impact anybody. Go back in there and see if there's some embers burning. Move that stuff around. See what's left. See, too many people quit before they check to see what's still there. You gotta at least do that first before you concede defeat. Timothy, I don't care what you're going through. Take a moment, move the stuff around. See if there's anything left burning in the coals.
That's it.
And if you got at least a little bit, all you got to do. How do you fan something that seems like it's almost out? Praise God even when it's hard. Read your word even when you got tears in your eyes. Call on the Lord even when nobody else is going to pick up their phone. Do what you got to do. Crawl, struggle, do whatever you got to, but don't quit. Don't give up. If nobody comes because they think it's just about you, keep on working. You keep on going, not to your detriment, but you keep on spiritually. Hear me. People work themselves to death and ain't nothing spiritual about it. They're trying to preoccupy their mind so they can forget about what's going on, and they don't address what's going on. And when you address what's going on, God can what? Bring some what? Some oxygen to the thing.
Yes,
but you got to give God a chance, and you got to give yourself a chance.
Amen.
Why do you need to fan that flame? Because number two, you got to be able to burn out doubt for your future. It sounds odd, but, you know, I like to cook. I like to grill. I do all that stuff. Sometimes when I get a little lazy, sometimes when I get lazy, I take on a theory that fire burns off stuff that I needed to burn off. Right. Fire at a good enough temperature will burn off. And when it'll burn off that stuff, it'll cause me not to have to worry about doing too much scraping. I admit, like I said, when I'm lazy, I ain't always lazy with it. But when I'm lazy, I trust that the flame is hot enough to prepare what I need so my future will be juicy and bright. Hear me. When you have the flame, the fire of the Holy Ghost,
That's it.
It begins to burn off some things when you allow it to what? Just work. Okay. Can I tell you something? The book I just published, I was scared to death to try to publish it. And here's how scared I was. I wrote the thing more than a year ago. And it seemed like it was too fast. I hand wrote it in 2 weeks. It seemed too fast though. So I transposed it and I got that done in 2 more weeks. It still seemed too fast because I'm like, well, books need to take time and I don't think this is good enough. Me talking about stuff that I just wrote that actually helped me because it was actually cathartic for me. I'm like, this ain't gonna help nobody. I just did this. I'm gonna let this sit on shelf. But then I had the Lord deal with me. He said, just trust me. Like, all right, I'll trust you. But the first negative comment, I'm going to put it up. I gave my manuscript to the most critical people in my life. And I say critical from the standpoint that when they read stuff, they read it in such a way that they can find every single mistake in there possible. My mother and my grandmother. And when I gave them my manuscript and they said to me that this thing is going to help somebody. I was like, now, God, that was a move of you, but I still don't believe it. But suddenly, he kept burning off stuff that were excuses.
Yes.
Why don't you want to do it? I'm scared. Well, I already took it away from people that would be critical of it. I showed you that this was me working through you. So let me help you out. You can keep on trying me if you want to, but this is going to happen one way or another. Well, God, if it's you, yeah, you're going to open up every door. And I'm scared to death the whole time. Where's the money going to come from for publishing? He showed up. Where's all the stuff going to come from for the design of the book? He showed up. And all of a sudden, now went from just being a concept to becoming a reality. And when that thing got in my hands, I said, yeah, if it had not been for the Lord. And I'm not saying it for myself. I'm trying to spark something in some of you. There's some things that have been sitting in you for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. You've been putting it to the side. God told you, I got you. I am able to do it through you. I'm able to do it for you. But you've been suppressing the embers, and you've been putting stuff to the side, and you've been thinking that everything is dead and gone. And all of a sudden, God has brought you to this place, so you're reminded it's not dead and gone. It's not burned off. It's not out by the wayside. He said, I just need to get this thing so I can catch it on fire again. Because I want to get rid of your doubts. If it's about you, it's easy to doubt. But if God's in it, it's going to go. If it's about God, it's going to go. I don't care what you come up with. I don't care how many excuses you come up with. It's going to happen. And he does it every time. Timothy was able to preach to people that doubted his ability because they thought he was too young to do it. Timothy was able to help somebody because he didn't allow his own past to be a hindrance. People don't pick this up, but why don't they mention his father? The assumption is he wasn't there. So if he wasn't there, it didn't mean that he couldn't become the man God wanted him to be. He just needed God to what? Stand up in him. So he could be everything he was meant to be. There is no limitation to what God can do. And there's really no limitation to what God can do when he starts burning out some things that are in him. One more thing and I'll finish because I've taken too much time. I'm taking way too much time. Let me finishes this. You need to fan the flame because we need to embody the fire of our relationship with God. There's one key thing in the entire larger text that I haven't touched. And that is when Paul says, not only fan this flame, but as it's fanned, Be reminded, God hasn't given you spirit of fear, love, power, sound mind, love, power, self-control. But he also told them, don't be afraid to show your witness.
That's right. That's right.
What you scared of?
Right.
You afraid that if somebody knows that you actually love God, that something's going to be wrong, that something bad's going to happen? That you're going to lose something because you're unapologetically about the love of God. There's a whole lot of people go to churches every Sunday. Give in those said faith communities.
Yes.
I mean active in them.
Yes.
But you wouldn't know it. Because when they come out on Monday, they do everything to hide it. Now, some people would say, what do you mean that they do everything to hide it? Well, do you mean that people need to go out and quote a million Bible verses all the time? That ain't what I'm saying. Because some folk quote Shakespeare and think it's in the Bible. Ain't nowhere in the book. And swear to you that it is. And you look at them and say, it ain't there. But they tell you it's there. And y'all looking at the same Bible in the same place and it ain't there. I ain't saying that. But if you know the word, don't be afraid of it. But here's the other part. It don't cost you nothing to love somebody. It doesn't cost you anything to stand with people when they're going through trouble. That's being authentically who you're meant to be in God. It doesn't cost you anything to stand up and say that this neighborhood should not be riddled by violence. That don't cost you nothing. It doesn't cost you anything to say, what are we going to do for those that have suffered? How do we welcome in the stranger? How do we make sure that not only immigrants are torn away from their families, but that people in our neighborhood are torn away from their families? That doesn't cost you anything. It just costs you your witness. Nobody cares if you can tell them where you go to fellowship. They care if you really know the God of the fellowship. And only people that are on fire can catch others on fire. If you ain't got a flame, you can't cause nothing to catch. But if you got some fire, you'll cause something to catch. And I promise you that enough folk on fire can cause a whole community to catch on fire. And all that it takes is somebody willing to say, I love the Lord. He heard my cry, and he pitied every groan. And all it takes is somebody saying, I used to be in the pit, but he lifted me out of the pit. All it takes is somebody saying, I have not always been this way, but the Lord showed up in my life, and I've never been the same, and I'm not ashamed of the gospel that brought me out. I'm not ashamed of the fact that it all it took was Jesus loving me into his care. I don't need to sit by and try to put on for you. All I need to let you know is that my God is real. He's real in my soul. He's real in my life. He's real in my house. He's real everywhere I go. When I'm in my car, I'll shout every now and then because I just think about how good he's been to me. Every now and then, I just got to step back and say, look at where the Lord has brought me. It wasn't always good, but he delivered me, and I can't help but say thank you. Every now and then, my life has got to be one big thank you. When I think about when I was on a job and I didn't need to be there and I was being oppressed, and he delivered me out of it and gave me better opportunity and gave me my life back and gave me my joy back and gave me my peace back. Is there anybody in here that's got that testimony that you were always going through so much, but the Lord gave you a way of escape? You're not with that person because he gave you a way of escape. You're not in that situation anymore because he gave you a way of escape. So don't sit by and say that you don't got nothing to talk about. You got a whole lot to talk about. If you're here right now, you got a reason to praise him. If you're here right now, you got a reason to shout. If you're here right now, you got a reason to catch on fire. If you're here right now, you got a reason to lift up your voice and say, I'm not ashamed. Fan it. Don't sit on it. Fan it. Don't wait for it to get better because you're hoping it gets better. Just take your moment in. Because guess what? Faith without works. Y'all know the book. I'm finished.